come.
Hello, this is Optimus Solo, and welcome to the 80th chapter in our Powers of Grayskull series. With me for this journey into the Masters of the Universe franchise, as he has been for the other 79, except for the one that I wasn't in, TFG1 Mike. Hello.
Hello.
That's classy. Are you ready for more Mists of Etheria, sir? The final two episodes today.
No. Can we just skip this, please, and go to space?
Oh, you're tipping your hand, huh? Well, anyways, in this episode of Mists of Etheria, we'll still be giving you our thoughts on the final two episodes of the series. Episode 92, The Bibbit Story, and episode 93, Swifty's Baby. So we hope you're ready, because it's time, one more time, to go back to Etheria.
It's the final countdown. I hate that song.
Replace this much junk.
First up today, episode 92. We call it The Bibbit Story. Written Saturday, or air date Saturday, November 28th, 1987. Mm-hmm. A few days after I turned six. Written by Don Heckman. The Bibbits do not want to fight against Hordak, but Bo and Adora persuade them to, because they're bastards. Hordak, Shadow Weaver, Mantenna, and some troopers, She-Ra, and Bo. That's all we get. And then, oh, the side character is Ku, Scout, D, Rob, and the Bibbit Elder. It's a host of Burbles. I mean, Bibbits. What, sir, did you think of the Bibbit story?
Okay, so a moment ago you said that Bo and Adora are bastards. Now, I don't know too much about Bo's parentage and whatever else, but we do know that She-Ra's parents.
Hold on. I would just like to say that you may not know much about their parentage. I do.
No, you don't.
I will.
You're
keep
not.
It a secret.
I'll yeah,
keep it
exactly.
A secret, but I do know about Bo's parents. So anybody that wants to know about Bo's parentage, just hit me up, tweet me at Optimus Solo. I'll tell you who Bo's parents were.
Just go watch Paul Reiser and My Two Dads, folks, and you'll get it. Okay, so Adora is not a bastard child because she knows who
kind of.
She isn't now. She knows who her mother
and
father are.
So you can't, you just turn, you just...
She knows
who... That's how you unbastardize yourself. You educate yourself.
Well, she was stolen as a baby. It wasn't like her father abandoned her. She was stolen by two bone-faced morons.
Yeah. That's better than being abused as a baby, I guess. Anyway.
Wow, this episode has really gone downhill, folks.
So nobody knows what I'm talking about. The Bivets, the Burbles, I don't know what the fuck we're going on here about. But
it's the point Thundercats is, episode, ladies
the
and gentlemen.
Point is, we're on episode 92, episode 92. And we're apparently just now learning about the Bivet Village that exists on Etheria. So that's the thing, and we'll just accept it, Mr. Don Heckman, that you've created this new race that didn't exist for 91 episodes. Okay. At least the Bivets are not, I don't know, they're not the most annoying race of characters we've ever seen, are they?
No.
So they got that going for them.
Yeah.
But what the fuck is the point of this episode?
I have no clue.
It's just to, like, get in this whole thing again about these, like, peaceful people, just like the Hive was peaceful, just like a couple other races that we've come into contact are peaceful, but we're going to make you fight. Like, it was cool before when you had the storyline where you're like, hey, sometimes you got to stand up for yourselves. But now we're just making this whole village of nice, innocent people fight. Like, I don't know if that's the best message to be given across. I don't know, like... And how many times have we had a message or the similar plot in He-Man or She-Ra where Hordak and or Skeletor creates slaves out of a group of people, mm-hmm. and we have to stop it? So, like, episode 92, this is what we got? This is what we got. One episode left, and you're giving me some freaking Bivets.
I'd rather have Robear Burbles.
At least they're kind of interesting, I guess. I don't know. Let's make our way to Whispering Woods. It's like a Band-Aid. You got to rip it off real quick. It doesn't hurt as much. Maybe you have something good to say about the Bivet story. Is it a story you like? Did you enjoy the Bivet story? What good do you have to say about it?
Okay, Fright Zone, here we come.
No, I got two things.
Oh, fuck.
I got two things. And I can't believe both of my Whispering Woods moments are about Horde Troopers. First off, the one guy gives us a call sign. He's Robot Number 2. Robot Number 2 has survived this long, folks. Robot Number 2 is alive and well in episode 92. That's impressive, because we've seen a lot of these Horde Troopers go to the wayside. Mm-hmm. Number 2 is still kicking, and I like that they're all assigned a number. That's cool. And actually, the Horde Troopers are funny in this episode.
They are, yeah.
It's been 92 episodes, and they finally made the Horde Troopers have some personality. Mm. They're funny, and they're entertaining. I never thought I'd see the day.
Mm-mm.
I'm floored. Go ahead. Take me to Fright Zone.
She gets blinded by the fucking rocket. Was it just a temporary blindness? He hits her with the rocket. She says, ow, my eyes, I can't see. And then 2 seconds later, she can fucking see again. Are you kidding me? Like... She said she was blind. If you're gonna pull the blind card, if you're going to, because as someone who is classified as legally blind, if you're gonna pull that, you need to have that be a part of the episode plot. Like, this would have been a much more enjoyable episode if Swiftwind had to basically lead She-Ra around the whole place as a
Swiftwind, the C9 unicorn.
I know, right? That would work. That would be awesome. Come on now, Or something. Take a look at one of the old Batman the Animated Series episodes. It's called Blind as a Bat. Go watch that. In that episode, it says that Batman gets blinded. It's a temporary blindness. It takes about, I don't know, 15 minutes of the episode, and by the end, he gets hit in the head again, and the blindness is gone. So it's one of those reactions of, okay, I'm standing at the top of the hill of Optimus Solo's house, and I'm just going to drop a bowling ball down the hill, and it's going to knock him over. He's going to hit his head on the fence. He's going to be blind for 45 minutes. And then after that 45 minutes, I'm just going to hit him in the head with an iron, like, you know, Marv or Harry from Home Alone, and he'll be able to see again. It's that kind of trope here. where that would have worked a hell of a lot better than what they did.
Yeah. Agree. Are you done?
Yeah.
That's it?
That's it.
All right, let me go then. Okay, you all know, if you've been listening for the previous 80 episodes, previous 79, since this is episode 80, that yeah. I'm not a big fan of the power sword or the protection sword. Define the laws of physics. And sword causing earthquake, nope, didn't like it the first time I saw it. Still don't like it the 17th time I've seen it so far in this franchise. So not a big fan of that. And like you mentioned previous episode or two or three episodes ago, no sword to rope. They've given up. They're not even making them say it anymore. They just keep turning the sword into things nondescriptly, and that I guess we just are supposed to accept it. So yeah. Even the writers have given up. All right. So you have this thing where Hordak needs people, needs slaves, needs yes. a workforce.
Yes.
Shadow Weaver suggests, hey, there's this Bibbit village that we've been ignoring for 70 plus episodes, 92 episodes or whatever. So let's make them our slaves. And now, in the most convenient manner possible, our writers decide that at that exact moment, the first time in 92 episodes that the Bibbits are in the conversation, that they're not only going to be in the conversation with between Hordak and Shadow Weaver, but Bo and Adora are just going to happen to be visiting Bibbitland at the same time. Like, isn't that convenient, folks? They even have the forest line in the beginning of Bibbitland should be protected and left to be natural. Like, that's pretty convenient since Hordak's gonna do what he's doing to the Bibbitland. Mm-hmm. Like, don't give me that bullshit. Don't give me this concocted, ridiculous story where all of a sudden both parties are going to venture into the same idea of interacting with this species that we haven't seen in 92 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck that. And the Bibbits, I don't know about their look either. Some of them look okay. Some of them look weird. I don't know what they are. Are they a combination of Popples and... I don't know. They're like three or four different 80s creatures combined into one. Ewok, part Popple, part like Monchichi or something. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck they are, but I don't know about that look.
Yeah.
I'm not done.
Oh. Okay. Excuse me, Mr. All High and Mighty. I was just going to give a brief opinion.
What do you think they look like?
On,
I just wanted to cut you off.
I don't even remember now. Fuck it. Go on.
Even the PSA is bad in this, so I'm going to continue to talk about the PSA in the Fright Zone moment because, okay, She-Ra and Adora are basically... I mean, I don't think the series can decide on a message here because Bo and Adora persuade the Bibbits to fight against Hordak. In a way.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The PSA says it takes more courage at times to walk away from a fight. So which is it? Mm-hmm. Is it time to stand up and fight for yourself when you're trying to become enslaved? Or is that a good time where it takes more courage to walk away from the fight?
I don't know. All as I know is you got to fight for your right to party.
I guess. But I ain't partying with these fucking looking weird Bibbit creatures. No.
That's what I was going to say earlier. Thank God these guys are not related to the Wuzzles.
Oh, yeah. But I don't know. This is... There's frustrating parts in this episode big time. Like, I don't get it. I don't get why we're talking about the Bibbits. I don't like that they exist. I don't like that they're both all of a sudden, awards.
Okay, so I assume you're going to give Horde Bats to everybody, like I usually do. Oh, come on!
I'm going to give Horde Bats to everybody that wrote any of the dialogue or the actual writing of this episode.
I have no awards either way. No awards either way.
You fool!
What do you mean, me fool?
There's lots to give. I give to the dialogue writers and the writers, Horde Bats to anybody that picked up a pen for this episode. Protection swords, though.
The Horde Troopers deserve the first ever protection sword that I've ever given to a Horde Trooper. They were funny. They were entertaining. They have numbers. I like all things Horde Trooper in this episode. And I'm going to give a protection sword to She-Ra for not only telling Bo to shut the F up, but she literally is straightforward. Do what I say, Bo.
Because She-Ra, Dodora, I don't remember which one it was at the time, but she's either wanting to turn in or wanting not to turn into somebody, whatever it might be. And Bo's like, oh, I'm going to help her. I'm going to stick around. And she's like, no, I told you to go, and you're going to go. Do what I say, Bo. She put him in his place. I like it. She-Ra, protection sword.
Okay. All right, ready?
What do you got for Crystal Castles on this one?
Zero.
Not a zero. You're just getting fed up. No. You're just giving zeros out willy-nilly.
No, I'm not. This is a zero. No, this
the
is
The Horde
a...
Troopers alone deserve a point.
Okay.
Give them a point.
A half point. I'll give it
half
a point,
point
five.
Half point for Horde Troopers. Yeah, all right, I like it. I got you off with a zero.
Okay.
I'm giving it a two.
What the fuck is wrong with
below,
you?
It's below average. It's below average. It's not the worst episode I've seen. The Horde Troopers are entertaining. I give them 1 point each for each of the Horde Troopers that were entertaining to me. Hey, there. And then there was one.
And then there was one left, so we'll be back after this.
Goodness, Swifty, you certainly are in a hurry.
Indeed I am, She-Ra. Indeed I am. I can't wait to show you my surprise.
Surprise? What is it? Tell me.
If I did, it wouldn't be a surprise.
Uh-oh. I'm afraid your surprise will have to wait, my friend. That's a Horde patrol down there. We'd better take a look and see what awful thing they're up to.
And last up. And I do mean last up, is episode 93, the final episode of Princess of Power, She-Ra, Princess of Power, Swifty's Baby, air date, Saturday, December 5th, 1987, written by J. Larry Carroll and Arthur Nadell.
Okay, stop, right there.
Apparently I have to stop now, folks, so it's Mike's turn.
Yeah, stop right there, because, yes, that's right. So I looked up Arthur Nadell. Okay, one thing you forgot to put in the script for this is his middle initial, which is H, because as soon as I typed Arthur Nadell into Google, I get Arthur Jeffrey Nadell, January 1st, 1933 to April 16th, 2012, the hedge fund manager who went to jail for embezzlement and everything else. So I go again and I add, you know, I search Arthur Nadell on IMDb and it pulls up Arthur H. Nadell, which his credits include stuff like he was the executive vice president of creative affairs for The New Adventures of Zorro, Batman, Gilligan's Planet, He-Man, She-Ra, all that stuff, Ghostbusters. As far as his writing credits, not many. This one episode of She-Ra he has credit for. He has credits for two episodes of The Adventures of Batman from 77. He has a writing credit for four episodes of ISIS. Wait, there was an ISIS TV series? Yeah. Aren't those the terrorists we're trying to fight these days? And then Jason of Star Command. He's the creator in all 28 episodes of Jason of Star Command. I think Buzz Lightyear has a better ring to it. But anyway... Yeah, so Arthur H. Nadell, folks, not Arthur Nadell. You don't want the hedge fund manager that went to jail.
Fair enough. But the plot goes something like this. Swiftwind and his Pegacorn girlfriend. That's literally what it says. Pegacorn. That's a Pegasus and a unicorn. Pegacorn also sounds like some type of food. But his Pegacorn girlfriend, don't ever call me a Pegacorn, are going to have a baby Pegacorn. This is the best plot synopsis ever. I don't know why I didn't read this beforehand. Because this is ridiculous.
Real Hordak, reactions from Optimus Solo, folks.
Hordak, I wish this is the first time I have ever not read the plot before I read it out loud on the air, and I didn't know I was going to have to say the word Pegacorn two times. Hordak captures the mother, but She-Ra rescues her. That's it. That's all they're giving you. This is the most ridiculous. Anyway, we have Hordak, Catra, Shadow Weaver, Imp, and Mantenna. We have She-Ra, Swiftwind, and a newcomer, Swifty's baby. We also get the return of the Bibbits, Coo, and Scout. And then we get the return of the Unicorn King, the return of Brightwing, and the introduction of Starwind. What did you think about this merry episode, sir?
So I don't know if it was Crystal Sundancer or if it was Starwind, okay? But
yes,
Crystal Sundancer, if, correct me if I'm wrong here, was also pink, was he not? Pink-ish?
Yes.
So is, and Starwind is kind of brownish.
Sure.
I think what they did was they took Crystal Sundancer and Starwind and basically said, okay, and this is back in the day when the original action figure, okay, here you go. Here's your pink Swiftwind. And that's how they got the color, because they got the color from two other unicorns that were not friggin' Swiftwind. Thankfully, Matty Collector at the time, because Matty Collector no longer has the license to do the Masters of the Universe stuff. It now belongs to Super 7. Back a few years ago, Matty Collector put out the cartoon-accurate, Filmation-accurate Swiftwind. So thank God we finally have a white horse with the proper colors and on model. But yeah.
That's Are you done?
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I'm just kidding. That's interesting. I completely forgot about that. That's interesting trivia. Yeah. You're bringing something to this. I
always, not only do I do all the work in the audio
interesting
part,
nuggets.
Yeah,
bringing
exactly.
Interesting nuggets.
You leave my chicken alone.
You're bringing interesting Pegacorn nuggets.
Ew,
as far as the Whisper Earth, I'm going a different way.
Let's go see this tiny but biggest, wonderful, super secret special surprise. A super secret special surprise. Now that's something that might make Hordak happy. Oh, I better follow them and find out what it is. Wherever they're going soon. Oh, I'm tired of flying.
We're here, She-Ra. Unicorn Island. She-Ra, I want you to meet Starwind, my mate.
Your mate? This is a surprise. Starwind. I am very pleased to meet you.
Thank you, She-Ra. I've wanted to meet you for a long time.
Well, I must say, this really is a lovely surprise.
Oh, but that's not all. Tell her, Star.
No, Swifty. You tell her.
What is it?
Go on, Star.
Oh, all right. She-Ra, we're going to have a baby.
Oh, Swifty. Star, this is the most wonderful surprise I've ever had.
A baby. Ew, interesting. Very interesting. I wonder if Hordak can use this information.
I'm so very, very happy for both of you.
Thank you.
She-Ra.
You're wasting my time. I can't see why I should care about Swiftwind's baby.
Whoa!
Besides, I hate babies.
Let's go to Whispering Woods. Let's talk about good things. I didn't think we were going to get to see the Bibbits again. I guess it makes sense that these episodes are back-to-back, so I guess I'll give them some type of credit for having the cohesion there between the two episodes. Huh? I guess they're like, hey, we just drew all these guys for this episode. We might as well use them in this last episode.
I mean, it's It's not like they had to create 120 new characters for a whole three episodes of a cartoon.
But, like, I don't know why, what they're doing here, but whatever. there was 93 episodes in, and we actually got something we've never seen before. unless you've seen this before, you'll have to let me know. I have never seen the angle that we got with She-Ra pointing the sword to the screen as she says sword to shield. Like, that was a pretty cool angle, I actually thought. Like, it's straight on, looking right at the camera.
Yeah.
And we'll have to put it in the episode post or something, because it was a cool looking angle. So I did like that. Hordak hates babies. He literally says, "I hate babies." Like,
and he stole her as a baby.
But, like, just the fact that your bad guy is saying, "I hate babies," like, you might as well be saying, "I hate puppies" and be Cruella de Vil. Like, that's just wrong. Like, what?
Okay, that reminds me. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to drag this out more than it already is. But,
yes, you are.
Shut up. I was on Amazon, and I was looking for several things, as this is the holiday season when these episodes are going to be going out. And one of the things I found going through various things was a game. It was a card. You know those card games like Cards Against Humanity and that kind of stuff? The role-playing card game? Think of Dungeons & Dragons and that kind of crap. And I don't mean literally that it's bad, people. I'm just saying crap to, you know, not have to curse. Because
it is a limited vocabulary. It's okay.
Shut the So I'm going on Amazon looking for several things, and I find this card game, Exploding Kittens, NSFW edition, explicit. And I'm like, what the, who the, why the, why would there be a card game called Exploding Kittens?
That is wrong.
It is so wrong.
They actually show Swiftwind being hurt. I thought that was interesting.
I think, like, the second time, the first time was when he almost died in The Secret of the Sword.
Yeah. So that was interesting. And a Swiftwind-centric episode. I guess I'll give him points for that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. And the reappearance of the Unicorn King. I thought that was interesting that they actually brought some of the unicorns that we've seen in the past back. What about you? Anything Whispering Woods-wise?
Mm-hmm. Whispering Woods wise, let's see here.
Say something good. It's the last episode.
I like the fact that we get a Swiftwind focused episode, but it just felt really out of place.
Yeah.
I mean, I like all the action with Swiftwind. I like that they put him in a situation where he's never done, like, unicorns apparently can't go in the water. How do they bathe? Do they just lick each other all the time? Oops. But I do enjoy this. I do find this interesting. What I want to know is, though, seriously, how did he find the time to fly off to Unicorn Island? Because every episode they're fighting the friggin' Horde. Like, how did he find the time to go find...
He's Swiftwind, motherfucker. He can do whatever he needs. Fast.
Alrighty, then. What about you?
Is that all you had? Yeah, that's all you had. Oh my god, this is going to go down a bad trail here in a second. I want to lay out a challenge here. I just would like to see if you can predict all my Fright Zone moments, so I'll let you go first.
I have one thing written down.
Only one?
One thing.
We're watching carefully enough.
Oh my god. This was the series finale. You've got to be joking. This is not a series finale worthy episode.
No, I mean, I think that's a thing, though. They weren't ever concerned about that. They weren't ever trying to kind of put a bow on it. So it's unfortunate, but man, you missed some, sir. All right. I'm going to have to hold my breath as I'm fucking talking to you. So you're clearly not holding your breath because your mouth is moving as you're talking. Your mouth is open in the water. You're drinking the water. You're choking. I don't know what's going on there.
All as I can think of is Master of Disguise. This is what you're doing. This is what I want you to do. When exactly. He's telling the guy, shut up.
Stop moving your mouth. We don't need to hear you talk to us. You're underwater. They are moving the freaking moon. Are you fucking kidding me?
Nope.
They need the water to recess. Yes. So they decide to do that because the moon creates the tides, that they're going to move the moon, and then they go move the moon, which would have cataclysmic effects on the planet overall.
I mean, has nobody seen the Ultimate Doom? We know what happens when Cybertron came to Earth. I mean, come on, it's the same thing.
The moon... just because it's going to have one good effect doesn't mean you discount all the other things like that. No, everything's wrong now. Everything's wrong in the world. It's going to blow up. Everything's going to end badly. This is not good. You don't end first of all, second of all, third of all. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're She-Ra. I don't care if He-Man's holding your hand. You're not moving the fucking moon. Stop it with that nonsense.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay. Then we get this whole episode where Swiftwind and Pegacorn Lady are...
Swiftwind and Starwind.
Swift and Starwind are so concerned about Pegacorn Baby. I'm going to say Pegacorn as many times as I can until I can say it without laughing.
Okay, okay, stop. Stop for a minute. I'll let you continue a second. Tim. Tim Silvers, Toon Master Tim, Mr. Toon Master, you need to count this episode only how many times Optimus Solo has said Pegacorn.
And let me know if I said it one time without laughing as I said it or directly after. But anyways, they're trying this entire time to make sure that this baby is not born in the Fright Zone, because then the baby will not be a Pegacorn. All right. But... Stop it.
Oh, damn.
Man, I'm losing my shit here. But, no, they're trying so hard. And, like, we're moving the fucking moon to make sure that this doesn't happen. And you're telling me, wait a second, the baby is still born in the Fright Zone? The baby is still born in the Fright Zone. They're doing all this, and then she was just like, I gotta go see the newborn. Like, she already knew, like, oh, I'm just going to accept that we didn't do that fast enough. They clearly probably had the baby there. Let's go check it out. Like, everything was pointless. Like, the baby was still born in the fucking Fright Zone. Mm-hmm. And the baby came out some retarded-looking horse. It wasn't even a cute pony baby thing. Like, give me a My Little Pony baby or something. I don't know. But, oh, man, it was an ugly non-Pegacorn thing. See, I said it there because I said non. It didn't make me laugh. But, man, okay. So then they give us this whole line. So we will love him the same. We don't care if he's not a unicorn or a Pegasus or anything special. He's just a dumb horse. We're going to love him the same. So it doesn't matter, because we're parents and we're going to love our child. All great, great message we're sending to the kids. We're gonna love this unicorn, non-unicorn baby, regardless. Like, let's teach the kids. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be just like everything else. We can love you with whatever way you look. Cool. That's a great PSA. Except for the fact that then She-Ra changes the fucker into a unicorn.
Well, okay, but...
And then they become happy about it.
Well, yeah, that is wrong. And I agree with you. I agree with you.
Out the window.
But right, and I agree with you. But here's the thing that I found interesting was Swiftwind kept saying, "Oh well, it doesn't, you know, like you just said, he's our child. It doesn't matter, you know, whether he's like us or not, whether he's a unicorn or not." And then She-Ra just kind of stops for a second, takes half of a beat of silence, and says, "Hmm, he's just like his father, is he?" And everybody in the world, for the honor of Grayskull, and then poof, this kid has wackadoo white wings.
No, it is cool because it is Swiftwind's baby. So I get that the sword will be able to do that. I don't have a problem with that part. It makes sense that she comes to that revelation and that she knows, wait, my sword might have power on him just like it does Swiftwind or whatever. Mm. Whatever, whatever. That's fine and all dandy. But this episode is so hypocritical that... You're trying the entire episode to make sure, like, it's the most important thing to in your world that this baby is born just like you, so that he can be a unicorn, etc. And then you're gonna say, apparently lie and be fake and say, well, we love him just the same. In which case, then it shouldn't have mattered where he was born. And then, when he does get changed to a unicorn, you're gonna be happy as shit. And all make it very obvious that you're happier now than you were 2 seconds ago with your child. Mm. What kind of message is that sending? And then to cap that off, we're going to put a freaking bow tie on this series with the last thing we get to see, basically, is a single fucking tear. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? Single tear on Starwind. Go eat a dick. I'm sorry. Oh, fuck. The PSA is about the beauty of a new birth. Well, this was not a beautiful new birth. This was a judgmental, hypocritical, single-tier-worthy new birth that should not be the last episode of this series. Leave a bad taste in my mouth and go take this... Go live in Unicorn Island. I don't want to see any of you ever again.
I knew that was going
to get... Did I mention the Bibbits were in this episode? Why were the Bibbits in this episode? Tell me why the Bibbits were in this episode. Nobody knows.
Knew that single tier was going to get your goat.
The bad thing is, though, I like this episode. Until the last 5 to 6 minutes. The last 5 to 6 minutes, they move moons. We see the baby still born in the fright zone. And then we go through all this hypocritical bullshit with the baby. It was a good episode. I actually probably would have given this episode in the 4 range until the final 5 minutes. The episode destroyed by the final 5 minutes. The worst 5 minutes possibly in the entire series. I'm off my soapbox.
All right, awards. I assume you're going to take my mantle here and do Horde Bats for everybody, right?
No, Horde Bats not to everybody, because I still give a swift wind, still give a protection sword to Swift Wind. He headbutted a fucking ship. He headbutted a ship. He almost killed himself. He headbutted a ship.
Yes.
Amazing. Swift Wind gets a protection sword. Swift Wind's mom, Swiftwind's baby, the writers, the people that are moving the moon and destroying this whole universe because it's not going to exist anymore. Whoever was in charge of the final 5 minutes of this episode, all get Horde Bats. Anything from you?
Horde Bats to everybody except Swiftwind, and I'll give Swiftwind a protection sword.
That's right. Be in agreement with me, because you know how scary it would be to be in disagreement with me right now.
Oh, please.
What about a rating for you for this one?
1.5.
Man. It's so hard for me on this one, because I actually liked the episode going into the final 5 minutes. We get a Swift Wind-centric episode. We get some reappearing characters, even if it makes no sense with the Bibbits, but it does make sense with the Unicorn King and whatever the other unicorn's name was, Brightwing or whatever. Both of those we'd seen before. So that's cool. I like my villain hating babies. Like, that's cool, whatever. Swift Wind gets hurt. We got some cool things going on. It's a decent, unique episode that we haven't seen at all. Like, I don't know how many episodes in the cartoon world we had where a major character was giving birth or something like that. So, I mean, that's kind of cool. Cool to see this in Unicorn Island. Like, the action was okay. I'm going out on a decent note, and then it just totally gets ruined in the last 5 minutes. So how far down do I go? Oh, fuck.
I don't know. How far down do you go?
Give it a one.
I was going to say, how low can you go?
What did you give this one?
1.5.
So you're at a 1.5. I'm at a 1. This is how we end, She-Ra.
Fuck. Yep.
I'm done with this.
That's literally funny. Oh, Lord. Yeah. We're done with She-Ra, folks. The Christmas special can't be as bad as Swifty's Baby, can it, people? Come on now.
Swifty's Baby appear?
God, I hope not. I don't know, but...
Please leave a better taste in my mouth Christmas special. It's got to be. It's Christmas. It's got to be fun and, you know, jovial. And don't be stupid. Don't move moons.
Yeah, I don't think that they move moons, yeah. I don't know. That's a little strange. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to let Optimus Solo compose himself, and hopefully he'll have some rational thoughts.
I thought of what'll make me happy. Pegacorn.
Does that mean you can fly now if you think one happy thought?
No, but it means that I'm not going to be pissed off. I just got to say Pegacorn a couple times. It'll be all good.
Oh, God. All right, Pegacorn. We'll be... Shut up. We'll be back after this.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes planes can be so flighty.
Rob Paulson.
Sure, Blaine, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
I know what we're doing today.
Okay, Michael, if we're going to tackle this podcast thing, we've got to do something really special. It has to be cool, daily, in audio form, and undetectable by radar. Something that screams summer. I know, let's do a Phineas and Ferb review podcast. We'll call it the Podcast Organization Without a Cool Acronym, or PALCA for short. What do you think?
I think if we're not careful, Candace is going to bust us.
You can find PALCA on the Geekcast Radio Network, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, and all of the other methods you find podcasts.
Okay, then. Carry on.
It's Showtime Synergy. The latest review podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network is here. So join TFG1 Mike, Nicole Hailstorm, and myself, Lady Wreck, as we will be reviewing all 65 episodes of Joe and the Holograms in a 25-episode long podcast. You can find Showtime Synergy on iTunes and GeekCastRadio.com. We are the truly outrageous podcast that you want to be listening to.
We are back here on Myths of Etheria, Powers of Grayskull series, episode 80. And what a sadly anticlimactic ending to She-Ra.
I'm not talking about She-Ra anymore.
If I ever go back and watch any part of She-Ra, the only thing I will ever watch again from this show is The Secret of the Sword. That's it. I won't watch anything
else. I might watch some of the crossover episodes, but...
Okay, yeah, okay. Secret of the Sword and the crossovers. Everything else, no.
The only thing I'm excited to do, She-Ra related, is to break this shit down. To really get into the numbers, to see which episodes reign supreme, which episodes don't reign supreme, see how everything wraps up, because I haven't been tracking it. I'm going to go back and do all the work now, and I'm interested to see where we lined up, where we didn't line up, and just... what are the best episodes overall? So I'm interested to see some of that stuff, but man, that is, you're right. What a terrible way to end it. I mean, I wish we would have ended it similar to what we had last week or last episode, where we had the two good crossovers. We had 4.5, 4.5, 4, 4.5 ratings. Mm-hmm. Instead, we ended on a 1 and a 1.5. That's just bitter.
Yeah. Man. It's sad and wrong. All right. Thank you for listening to Myths of Etheria. If you'd like to get in contact with us, leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of our other episode posts. Send us email, feedback@geekcastradio.com, put in the subject line, Myths of Etheria. Since we're only going to be doing the Christmas special after this, and then the recap episode, I don't know, put the episode number, whatever else. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. You can follow at Pow of Grayskull for the show, Geekcast Radio for all of the network updates. I am at TFG on Mike. What is your Twitter?
At Optimus Solo, but I'm considering changing it to at Pegacorn.
No, don't. Please don't. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast or Radio Network. Join us on Christmas Eve 2016. When we will be giving you our review of the He-Man and She-Ra Christmas special, and then join us on New Year's Eve 2016 when we will be giving you episode 82, the She-Ra Princess of Power wrap-up recap episode.
And the grand finale of all grand finales.
Grand finale for She-Ra, for Filmation, for everything to do with Lou Scheimer and all the Filmation crew. And then after the episode of New Year's Eve, folks, we're going to take about 6 months off of airing the podcast. We're going to take about 6 months off because we need to get a bunch of backlogged episodes for the New Adventures of He-Man. And I thought I would never say this. After the ending of She-Ra, I'm actually looking forward to the crappiness of New Adventures, because, oh my God, that ending to She-Ra was horrible.
I'm still not looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to rewatching the 2000 series. Can we just skip to that?
No, we can't.
I'll put myself through the pain.
Are you kidding me? We've put ourselves through so much pain already.
I mean, if I survive If I survive,
you are not bailing. No, you are not. If you, I'll tell you this right now, on air in front of God and everybody. If you bail on New Adventures, not only will I replace your lazy ass, I will not let you come back for 2002.
I am not lazy, first of all. But I'm just saying,
you know what I mean.
I was trying to make is I didn't make it through Mask. And I know this shit's gonna be worse. there's no way this is better. I don't know. I'm judging it prematurely. I've never seen this crap. People like it. I'll watch it. It'll be cool. It'll at least be fun, guys. It'll at least be a fun ride. I guarantee you that.
Mm-hmm. For now, I am TFG and Mike with the cracked up Optimus Solo by the power. By the power and for the honor of Grayskull, you all have the power. We will catch you next time, folks, when we spend Christmas with He-Man and She-Ra.
Yeah, buddy. Santa Claus.
Skele-Claus.
I like it. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Please!
Oh, blast it! I don't know what's coming over me, but whatever it is, I don't like it. Oh, stop licking my face, you dratty dog. Get away from me. You're drowning me. Get off.